is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. Welcome. You're on the clock with Erin Green. It's Tuesday, the 3rd of October, 2023. If you see me pausing, you hear me pausing, if you see me on the video pausing, that's because I've got a thousand things to talk about this morning. Joining me is Mr. Mark Palmer.
Good morning, Erin.
I want to throw the question on the table right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a question I got from the Twitterverse, from Twitter, which is now known as X. That's my, I don't know, yeah. The whole situation is wild,
mm-hmm.
right? The assessment of Musk and how people treat him in this capitalist paradigm. But put that aside. The question comes from Twitter. I want to say good morning and thank you to Jace Brannon. He didn't give me this question. He threw it out to the Twitterverse, and I was lucky enough to find it and grab it. So here's the question I want to throw on it. Would it take for you to move to or to move back to a family island? What would it take for you to move to or back to a family island? If you're under 40, over 40, or retired, right? That's the question I want to throw on the table this morning. Now, I got some articles I want to reference in the discussion. One is government to launch medical emergency transport system on family islands. Darvill says that's a 19th of September this year, article from this year, right? And then a more recent story, in fact, as recent as yesterday, Flamingo Air responds to mid-flight mishap. That's a brief headline on Eyewitness News. The story is in today's Guardian as well. Flamingo Airplane's door opens in flight. And we'll follow that up with another story from August. Apparent crash landing in Exuma from Our News. Exuma, Bahamas, an apparent crash landing by Flamingo Air Charter in Black Point yesterday. Police confirming the incident in a statement late Thursday evening, saying it happened around 4 o'clock on that Thursday afternoon. Again, this is an article from August. And then we're going to reference two articles in today's Tribune Business section. Parliament blunder on BPL regulatory void and IRCA in crackdown over communications outages. And then, Mr. Palmer, we're going to juxtapose that to an article about Ukraine and the status of Ukraine, I would say post-war, because they're still in war.
Yeah, because we haven't really talked about that for a while.
Yeah.
And things have changed. It'd be interesting to take a snapshot now where we're in a year. Is it just under a year, isn't it?
No.
What's it, 22?
Since
23?
The launch?
Oh, no, we're over a year and a half.
Definitely over a year.
Yeah.
Sort of bring that in. Let me throw the numbers out for the audience. 3236232, 3254316, 3254259, 2423005720 for people in the Bahamas but not in New Providence. So all my family island listeners, 2423005720 for people not in New Providence but still in the Bahamas. And some of the questions I had were, what businesses, entities, services, or social or sporting activities would you need to be comfortable on a family island? What modern convenience could you live without? What level of development would you want on the family island you've chosen? And would you develop generational property? Would you commit to investing your funds to develop generational property?
Great questions. I mean, I lived on Eleuthera back in the day as well. You know, before there was this, you know, we now have this economic boom in some of the family islands. Eleuthera, particularly, I think it's now considered almost a second island. And yeah, some of those questions are very pertinent. I think when you're looking at, you know, what do people have in Nassau that if they live in the family islands that they don't have, you know, medical, you know, we don't, there's, I think there's only one other family island that actually has a hospital. So if something serious happens to you on a family island, even a developed family island like Eleuthera, you're relying on air transport to get you. And there have been many cases where people have had, you know, serious injuries, and because of the time taken to get here, you know, they've passed. And whereas here, you know, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You'd have a much quicker. So I think medical health, just from my perspective, I think when you're young, you kind of feel that you are invincible.
Yeah.
And I was a lot younger then when I lived there, and you don't ever think about anything, you know, happening to you. But I think that's one of, for me, that would be an important thing.
Absolutely.
But there are other things as well. But the other point I like to make, I feel really sad today.
Yeah.
Because FTX didn't continue, and had it continued, we would have had our national debt paid off by now.
Who tell you that?
I saw that in the papers. Allegedly.
I just want to know who tell you that.
We would be sitting pretty like Norway.
Once the money goes in the consolidated fund, sir, you don't know what's going to happen with it. But I mean, that's a reference to the article in the front of today's Guardian, top of the fold. SPF met with PM on paying off national debt. Clay made a new book on FTX saga. OPM denies any such offer made. I took the time to read the whole thing.
Ah, okay.
You want to make that point, right?
Yeah. Do you think it's a sensational headline? Or does it have some merit? We love the savior, the white man savior that comes to this country, right? Bearing fruits.
I think you have misconstrued an economic and foreign policy strategy with a cultural lapse.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Well, I'll take that under advisement.
I want to throw it on the table.
Yeah.
And I think when we think about FTX, you know, I'm always asking, what is the rationale behind the policy? What's the rationale behind the policy shift, the legislative amendment? Where do we see these things? Where do we see the, you know, when you're in school, you got to do the equation, and then the teacher says, oh, you got
but
you got to
show the workings, right? Yeah.
And we the people need to see the working. What's the rationale, right?
Yeah.
Behind these
things. We'll never find out.
It
does seem rather far-fetched.
Let me rephrase that.
But it's an interesting article.
Without the proper and official state mechanisms, right, to ensure the dissemination, the publication, the making public.
You mean like minutes of meetings?
Well, no, the minutes are one thing, but without an official policy led by or pinned by legislation, right, we can't force people to do anything. Right, we can't force.
True.
So I would say it's not that it won't ever happen, but we're certain it won't happen unless we create the mechanisms necessary for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's the spot where we sort of lose hope.
Mm-hmm.
We miss that step that, no, but we can create the mechanisms we need to fix these problems, to resolve these issues. I got a text here. Says, I'm in the manufacturing sector. If they lease me some land and guarantee my loan as a startup for relocating, I will move. Thanks. But I want to ask that texter, what are the infrastructural needs, right, for your industry? At a personal level,
power.
You're comfortable.
Regular power.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that plagues. I mean, Eleuthera has its challenges, but I know Abaco, when I went there a few years back, there's literally power cut every day. And if you're manufacturing, you're going to require a regular source of power, or you're going to need to buy a generator or solarize. And that's expensive if you're manufacturing.
Right. And so for manufacturing, right, what are the other things you need? What are you manufacturing? remediation requirements, and can you, as an individual tradesman or expert technician, can you provide that infrastructure yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so you say to me, okay, Ms. Green, I got the trucks I need to transport the waste to the boat to ship it to Nassau, but can you guarantee that the boat will have the proper infrastructure on the boat to ensure safe travel of whatever waste it is you have produced, right? I see we got a call coming in, Mark. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green. Good morning, Palmer.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, good question you asked. What would I need to live on the family island? Good medical program, good clinic. Not necessarily about a hospital. Good clinic. I don't know why they don't use helicopter to fly me back to Nassau if it's a major emergency between Nassau and Grand Bahama or the Turks. We can make an agreement with the Turks. If I'm living in the South, why can't wait to Nassau and go right to take the cake for medical major emergency medical purposes? Good internet, like maybe a Flow TV cable, good television, and food coming back and forward to agriculture, whatever. I mean, yeah, we should have a farm, a greenhouse. Good greenhouse farming. It'll do me well. I mean, that's all I need. I would love to live on a farm now. You got fresher air.
Now, Pumpkinita, you are a member of the disability, people living with disabilities community, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What are the things that you will need there that you can't provide yourself and that you have to rely on a business community? For instance, ramps and mobility access infrastructure for people in wheelchairs or walking with canes. Do you think that...
So, yeah, the most, for instance, the most of the area, because not every area would need sidewalk. Most of the areas are bush. So you're talking about the most popular area, regatta areas, and shopping areas would need accessibility.
Right, so you're not expecting it throughout the entire community or settlement, but in the most frequently accessed...
settlements, yeah, you expect it in settlements, like in shops area and community areas.
And government facilities, you know.
Right, definitely government facilities, or maybe a private shop. You have a shop, you have a ramp and everything, because you got a little private shops over there, or private business over there, and you would need to be accessible.
Absolutely.
But other than that, I mean, that's all I need. I don't want my islands to be too developed. I always say the island family should never be too developed, like a Bahama, or Paradise Island Hotel. No, you don't need island families of islands.
Right. So you
motels and things like that, huh?
You wouldn't allow tourism development to reach the level of a mega resort.
No. But and I think Clement Maynard, if you go to his document, former deputy prime minister on the Finland government, he makes sure say, don't put that kind of development to family. I don't need that. Family, I should be always like a countryside. It's nice that you would love to go to the country for camp and, you know, layout and a break from the city.
What about a fire service or an ambulance service? Would you want that?
That's important. Yeah. Ambulance and fire truck. Those are the essential. And also, if you're not a plane, helicopter fly you way out.
Yeah, I think...
Come to province or Grand Bahama, huh?
But if you had those things, you would be interested? Would you go back? And where would you go?
I want my main goal is about the family island. But those things are essential. That not stop me from going now. No, that's not stopping me from going, because you do have planes that fly you up, but I mean, there'll be central if you have more of those stuff, especially the fire truck. You don't want your house to burn down or business to burn down.
I got you. I mean, I think that's an absolute essential. Yes, it has to be a fire truck. Because the first question I have is, what does insurance look like on the family island? How do you get fire protection if there's no fire truck on the island?
That's right. That's a good question. And, but the main point is communication, too, because your communication is very important. Having a cable television service or BTC service, telephone service.
Absolutely.
Because that's very important, because you make business. People doing business online. I do business online. I don't need no physical building to do business online.
Yeah.
So you need a adequate internet service, telephone service, and a TV service too.
Yes. Thank you, Pumpkin Eater.
All right. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Your contribution, without a doubt.
So for a Lutheran, because I know a little bit about Lutheran, I've been there a few times. You know, if you're living in one of the settlements, generally you're going to have internet, you're going to have all these things. But if you're living in between them, it can be a little bit patchy, even BTC alive.
Right. If you're in an extremely small settlement, or if you're not in a settlement, but
in between, because remember, Luther is long. It's 100 miles long. So you can be 15 miles between Y.
Yeah.
And so that's it. I mean, if you're living in Rock Sound, you know, it's got pretty good facilities or governors.
I wonder, what happens if you break down on a long stretch of road in Eleuthera, Long Island, Exuma? What happens if you break down?
You call your mechanic.
How do you call your mechanic if you're on a stretch of road where there's no signal?
Good point.
Right? And how long do you wait? You have to wait until a vehicle comes by and send a message to town.
Right. And they'll drive on and pass on the message, because it's friendly. You know, people are very friendly in the family island. But if you live on Cat Island, that's only 1,500 people. So you're going to have a lot less. You know, maybe if you live in Port Howe or one of the other, there's only really two areas where, you know, there's a lot of, you know, where those people are situated. So I think each island has its own specific problems. And, you know, fire truck, you know, if it's going to take 30 miles to get, you know, you're going to need, so looking at Eleuthera, you've got north, central, and south. You're going to need three of them.
Right, not just ideally. That, which means you're going to need, how many airports are there in Eleuthera?
So you have North, you have Governors, and you have Rock Sound.
Right, that's three airports, which means you need three fire trucks, for one for each airport.
Yep.
And then you need
to deal with any aviation issues.
Right, then you need a fire truck for the community, because the airport fire truck is dedicated to the airport.
Right.
And can't move, right?
And they do, they can use them, but yeah, it's dedicated.
Right, and so for me, this is a basic issue, right? This is not something
that
we're talking
a huge amount of money to run a fire service. And a lot of them can be run with volunteers. You know, One Eleuthera Foundation has a core partner called South Eleuthera Emergency Partners, SEEP. And they've been doing they run their own fire service for the South, as well as an ambulance service. Mm-hmm. And so that's a nonprofit taking it into its own hands to provide those services for the community. Mm-hmm. Those budgets we're not talking a huge amount of money, because you can get volunteer firefighters to come. Obviously, you need a chief, you know, you need a structure, but it doesn't necessarily have to cost as much. And one of the other issues is maintenance. You know, you need a good maintenance so these fire engines don't fall out of. And we tend to get the old ones donated. It's no, you know, we got one, we donated it. You know, so you can get stuff, but you need to maintain it.
Absolutely. A response to our first texter who said that their manufacturing sector, and if they got land and a guaranteed loan, they're ready to move. They responded and said to the question about what other needs. Our greatest need will be propane gas. We will use solar energy and fresh water. Suggest to me that we then need to expand our inter-island mailboat system, and have boats that are dedicated to making cargo runs, right? They don't rely on the number of passengers to be able to make a trip, but that they're dedicated just to moving resources back and forth, right? So propane shipments are going regularly, and tanks are coming back regularly. They're being processed and prepared to return again. Another thing, I think, which is an entrepreneurial opportunity, every island needs a AAA style business that will offer automotive services along with we call it an AAA, auto and aqua marine, right? Services, emergency services.
Things, could they make a living? You know, would it have to be something that's subsidized? Because the challenge, if you don't have a lot of people, you know, that you could, you know, it's not sustainable. Nassau, but we don't even have that. I mean, we do have one insurance company does it here in Nassau. You know, they don't do it.
But Right.
And, or economic reason, right?
Well, right. It has to be an economic reason because it can't be a needs reason, right? Because mm-hmm. the need is definitely there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it on the table, right, that there is a need and that there is a strategy that makes it work. Cars have to be inspected every year before they get licensed. Mm-hmm. The government has talked about a roadworthiness test for cars, yeah. right? In Britain, they have what's called the MOT. Yeah. That's your inspection. Mm-hmm. You're required to do it on your own. It's not. It doesn't mm-hmm. happen when you go in to get mm-hmm. licensed, but you cannot get licensed without it.
Right. You have to bring the MOT certificate.
Right. So that means that every island should have at least one mechanic
yeah.
that's been vetted for technical skill and integrity. Mm-hmm. Who's dedicated to preparing cars for inspection. That would subsidize the cost of the road service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I think, you know, these things we've had in other countries for years. And I remember when I lived in England, you'd be terrified to pass your MOT. That's like, you know, and it was never for sure because it's not like just looking at brakes indicators, they looked at everything, engine, exhaust emissions, brakes, transmission, all those things. If they weren't up to a certain standard, you'd fail that. And right. then you would have to go at your own cost, repair, and go back again.
Right. And I support the state's position that to some extent, the quality of the car mm-hmm. is a contributory factor to the very bad accidents and fatalities, right? Yeah.
So when I see cars with kind of wheels at funny angles driving right. around, you know, that's super dangerous, right?
Without a yeah. doubt. Let me throw those numbers back out at you. 323-6232, 325-459, 242-300-5720. To my people on the Family Islands, I guess the question is, why did you
move?
Why did you stay?
Oh, stay, right?
Or why did you move back to the Family yeah. Island, right? What is it that makes it worth it through all of the Family Island hardship?
I mean, ultimately, it's economic opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't exist, the only people really coming back are the retirees who are building, right?
And right.
They're looking for a little spot to come for the summer or the winter or whenever. But to really drive, that's why Disney in the South has driven a lot of economic expansion. But also in the North, if you look at Harbour Island, you mm-hmm. know, a lot of the labor that goes in there is from North Eleuthera.
Yeah. They're
coming in from, you know, Bluff, the Bogues,
yeah.
and jumping on that boat. And that economic, that's the engine, really, that's bringing people from Nassau back
yeah.
to the Family Islands. But if you don't have that, why would you go back to Cat Island unless you were retiring? There just
True.
Isn't enough, you know. For example, Governor's Harbour only has one coffee shop. Horatio runs that, the Perk. Great
yeah.
little thing, but there isn't enough activity, even in Governors, to have more than one. Otherwise, they would be there, right?
Right.
Whereas in Harbour Island, there's more opportunity to have that. Whereas here now, we have coffee shops pretty much in every corner.
Well, here's a question I have then. Can restaurants drive prices down to compete with what people can produce, the cost that they can produce those meals at in their homes? And would restaurants be able to survive
Mm-mm.
if they changed their model?
I think it's always difficult because when you're in the restaurant trade, you know, your pricing is based usually three times your inputs, right? Your cost of food. And so if the ingredients for your lunch cost $3, you're gonna sell that for at least $9.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise you won't make money. Because the other 60% is infrastructure and labor. You know, there's profit and there's also your labor costs.
So right. So
I think that's difficult to compete.
How do we drive that down? You take rent out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Can people outfit their home kitchen into a commercial kitchen to fit the health and hygiene mm-hmm. standards required? Right. Like,
yeah, that's
how do you drive those costs down? You know, we joke all the time
mm-hmm.
that, oh, you know, the Chinese businesses, this family-owned, and the people yeah. live in the business. We joke about it without recognizing that that's a successful migrant model
mm-hmm.
that's driven economic wealth and success, mm-hmm. you know, if not a couple hundred years.
Yeah.
But we joke about it as a model. Have we seriously considered that it's the economic models that require shifting.
No, it's a really good point, because you do see it in the immigrant population. When I lived in the UK, you saw it. You would have whole families living together. Everyone would contribute whatever it is, $20, $40. You have seven people putting that in the pot each week. By the end of the year, you have enough money. So after 3 or 4 years, you've got enough money to buy your property.
Right. And
or,
so,
or, you know, and because if you're renting, that's a huge cost. You know what rent is like, right? You're going to be paying at least $1,000 a month for the space and then all the other things. So it does make it, I think that's a great model, but it requires a different level of consciousness and thinking.
Yeah.
You know, you have, and I don't think we have that here. We live in a great place. We go fishing, you know, until the 1940s, we'd work the winter season and then we go fishing for the rest of the year. We haven't really had that kind of, you have to make hay where the sun shines type of mentality. You're living in, you know, say Europe. If you didn't get your eggs and pickle them and put your pears in the thing, you wouldn't have anything to eat
for winter.
So you had to work all year round.
And so perhaps it's both an economic culture shift and a personal culture shift that's required to make these things work.
Well, you know, a Jewish friend of mine was telling me that, you know, within the Jewish communities, particularly this is when I was living in England, every pound went through up to 23 Jewish businesses before it went outside that community.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this thinking of we support ourselves, we support each other before we support anyone else. And that's required. It's like the immigrant, we're going to, the whole family contributes. You can't sit around, you can't slack. Everyone's going to put money in the pot and it's going to allow us to buy a building and also pay for education, because we value education. Immigrants value education.
Without
we don't really generally, I mean, I do for my family, but it's not common
anymore.
Right. Just go out and get a job. Don't worry about no education, just get a job. But the immigrants are very, they see that's how they're going to get themselves into the middle class, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. And so these are things like personal and family, generational, cultural shifts that we as individuals could take control of. Mm-hmm. But then there are some things that we just can't fix on our own. I want to sort of, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, I want to read a bit from those two articles, Parliament Blunder on BPL Regulatory Void and IRCA in Crackdown over Communication Outages, because they also speak to some extent of the impact of these issues on Family Island communities as
well. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I paid my BPL bill yesterday. I'm still recovering from that event.
Absolutely. Producer, please take us to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to delve into those articles. I can be honest with y'all. I'm excited to read them out loud. I've been waiting to see these words in some form printed in the paper for a long, long time. So you guys, please, hold the dial. We'll be right back. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for our Family Island listeners. And the text line, 422-4796. We'll be right back.
People, a breast cancer diagnosis can feel like a battle they're facing alone. But we're all in this together, because breast cancer patients are our mothers, sisters, daughters, our friends. Women need to be assured that they have access to the screening they need and the support they deserve, because every woman matters. Every story is powerful. Every voice makes a difference. Join Guardian Media Group as we pink up the month of October for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support. Place your ad. Give your story, your voice in the Nassau Guardian, Star 106 Hits, Guardian Radio, or Hot 91. For more information, contact your account executive or call 302-2300. Join Guardian Media as we motivate our community by supporting a powerful cause and raising awareness for Breast Cancer Awareness Month this October.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble.
See, Beulah, when you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with my guest co-host on this World News Tuesday, Mark Palmer. We're talking about the Family Islands because sometimes the Family Islands feel like a whole different world, right? I don't know, Mark, if you remember the little clip with the little girl her mama asked her, I think she asked her somewhere she wanted to go on vacation. She wanted to leave the country. Mm-hmm. She wanted to go to Bimini. She wanted to leave the country. Okay. You know? It's like a whole new world out there, and it's a world that many of us don't get to enjoy, don't get to explore, don't get to experience the value of, and never have an opportunity to extract value for their own personal or familial or community development, right? And so I think there are lots of things that I would need to move back to a family island.
One of the things you're going to need is money.
Without a doubt. In fact, I got a text here that said, look here, if I win that $1.2 billion Powerball, I'll be moving to the Family Islands. I don't think people, I'm not sure if we've had a...
I think you need to be, you've got to be middle class or entrepreneurial or have access to some funding to get you there. Unless you got family that can, you know, because one of the things you're going to find if you're just going there blind is accommodation. Particularly a place like Eleuthera, because there's so much construction and activity, and the Airbnb market has also kind of cannibalized the local rental market.
Right.
It's hard to find accommodation.
Yeah.
Unless you want to pack a tent, live in the bush.
And they don't like that.
Or pay massive rents. If you want to pay $2,000-$3,000, you're paying Nassau rents to go to the Family Islands.
Right. So
unless you have family there that can put you up.
So we got to put on the list. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a rent regulation, right? For me, I want to see a state policy that approaches regulating costs of rental and leasing balanced against a growing Airbnb market. Mm-hmm. There has to be a mechanism that prioritizes Bahamians in their own country in terms of housing, and particularly on family islands with the development. Now,
I mean, we just don't really have any low-cost housing. I'm not talking about rubbish. I'm talking about proper. If you go to Singapore, right?
Yeah.
This is a country with a landmass only 50% bigger than ours, but has nearly 5 million people living there. Mm-hmm. They have subsidized housing, intentional government subsidized housing that everyone can live there, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a millionaire or somebody earning $70,000 a year. if you're a laborer or whatever, wherever you come from, you have an ability to live in one of the most expensive countries in the world because the government is intentional about providing low-cost housing. And that's where it, you know, that's all it takes. You know, I'll give you another example. My sister lives in the UK. Property prices are high. You know what the local council did? They subsidized mortgages, or they would pay for a proportion of that property so she could get in onto the homeowner's ladder. So she would have 50% of the mortgage and they would subsidize the other 50%. And so there are, you know, there are mechanisms in place to allow people to get onto that property ladder. And, you know, we just got to find one that's right for us.
Yeah.
But it's not going to require huge amounts of money, and there is revenue flow, and it could be sustainable, right? Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. So, Mark, in 2003, I used to live in Andres. I did a short contract at the Bahamas Environmental, with the Bahamas Environmental Research Center.
Which part, north or south?
Sort of central, between Fresh Creek and Stanyard Creek, right? Working in Stanyard, living in Fresh Creek. I left Andres when I realized that nobody intended on increasing the number of internet lines available to the island. There's something like 6 lines dedicated to North Andres, and 2 of them were like Autech related lines, right? And I realized, and in fact, while I was in Andres, you remember the massive New York blackout?
Yep, I remember that.
We watched that happen. I think we were actually listening to Daryl Miller, and then we switched. And so we were sitting in Andres watching that happen, thinking, wow, like, fine, you know, to see Americans and the impact that that loss of power had on them, the infrastructure, the trains won't work. People had to figure out how to get home miles away. Some people just started walking.
Yeah.
Some people just said, you know what, it's going to be a long walk. I might as well get to it. And that was a surreal, you know, moment. And I said, you know what? There's no way these boys are going to increase the number of internet lines available on this island in the next year. This is not making any sense. I moved back to New Providence, you know?
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's beautiful, beautiful. So,
I mean, the other thing for Nassauians, right, or people who come back from Nassau, is they want things to do, right? And if you're young and you go to Lutra, I don't even think they have a cinema no more.
They don't have the movies in Governor's Harbor anymore?
No, I don't think that. I remember driving past that. I'm pretty sure that's closed. But they would have one movie on a Thursday night when I lived there.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. Everyone would get together. You don't know what it was, or you would see it. And that was it, right? That was the choice.
Like our local television providers that don't think a guide is necessary for the purpose of watching television. You should just turn on the television and be grateful that you have 1,000 things you could watch. You're not going to know what they are until you hit the channel. But
you know, maybe we've changed. We've now got Netflix and other things. But you do want to have some kind of a social life, right? You want to be able to go and do things to beyond a homecoming. You know, we always used to look forward to homecomings because it was a great time to connect and also for people to come back to the island.
So what I find fascinating about that is that the Family Island schools are excellent, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
They're very good.
Yep.
And so as a parent, I would see the benefit. I'm raising
education,
my kids
agreed.
On a family island. Say Luthra, you got what, Preston Albury, you've got the island school, you've got some great
primary schools,
right? But what about social life? And what about social life and extracurricular activity and personal development for aging children, right? As they're entering junior high, senior high years. And how do you, as a parent, guide your child in the space? Because now they're experiencing cultural imperialism, right? Mm-hmm. They're experiencing all these things happening in New Providence, as well as the wider world that just not happening on their islands. And how do you, as a parent, manage that sort of wanderlust, right? That I want more because I see more, you know. And I think that's a big thing for parents of teens and young adults to manage.
Yeah, I think so. The younger kids down south, they have a sailing club.
Mm-hmm.
in, I think it's Savannah Sound, and that is like a hub. All the kids, so kind of up to the age of 13, maybe a little bit older.
Yeah.
And it's a great safe space. They go down there and they build friendships, and it kind of makes the whole living there worthwhile.
All right.
But beyond that, I think that's where the challenges come.
All right. Let's get into these articles. Let's start with Parliament blunder on BPL regulatory void. Regulators are scrambling to fill a void created by Parliament in electricity sector supervision, which has potentially left Bahamians at the mercy of appliance-destroying voltage and frequency fluctuations. Me.
Mm-hmm.
I am Bahamians.
I know you talked about that. Yeah.
The Utilities Regulation and Competition Authority, URCA, in outlining electricity quality and reliability benchmarks it plans to impose on BPL and other public suppliers outside of Grand Bahama, revealed that the last Christie administration and the then Parliament blundered by failing to ensure voltage and electricity standards survived the switch to a new regulatory regime. Such standards were included in the previous Electricity Act and the Out Islands Electricity Act, but these were repealed when the Electricity Act 2015 was passed by Parliament to usher in the energy sector's new supervisory regime. The URCA paper revealed that they, quote, were not explicitly included, close quote, in the latter act, and any regulations or rules that accompanied it, something that was not picked up by any sitting minister or MP at the time.
So who drafts these acts, right? That's the Attorney General's office,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a blunder, right? Because I'm assuming they would have taken the old act as a basis,
mm-hmm.
rather than starting scratch, right? And then amending those mm-hmm. clauses. So that, how could you miss that? I mean, wow, okay.
Maybe they expected URCA to
jump into the gap and take over that,
perhaps.
Without any explicit instructions.
Perhaps.
Wow.
Because, you know, we infer that they're the regulator.
I mean, I do understand the Attorney General's office is under a lot of pressure. You know, they have a lot of legislation. They're doing not enough people to
yeah.
do it. And
we see that.
I can understand how that could happen, but it is a big...
Yeah.
It's affected us, right?
Absolutely.
Big time.
Let me continue reading. I'm going to jump further down in the article. Spelling out the problem that it is now seeking to correct, URCA said, quote, in fulfilling the Electricity Act mandate, URCA is cognizant of the fact that the production of electricity inherently carries the risk of variations in the ideal or nominal value that is intended to be produced by the electricity supplier. Quality, as well as variations in the notes that these variations can have disruptive effects on equipment connected to the electricity grid, such as motors and timers or other frequency or voltage sensitive devices. In order to mitigate this risk, URCA proposes to implement rules that outline the minimum technical standards for electricity supply. Producer, okay, great. Good morning, caller.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm doing great. Now, you said, you know, to go back to Family Yard. Let me tell you something, Aaron, and your guest.
Yes, sir.
I could go to any Family Island
mm-hmm.
and live. I grew up a bit in Exuma,
mm-hmm.
so I call that my home. Once you give me a fishing line, a crab walking,
uh-huh.
I could go and catch my crab. Give me a gun, I could go shoot some duck and some pigeons, some coots.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a good, my running tennis, I could go running.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I need. I don't really need nothing extravagant or anything like that. I'll be comfortable in doing those things. So that would be me, like I said.
Let me ask you a question, sir. Where's the school to teach Nassau people how to catch crab?
But, see, now I could catch them, but I don't eat them. But I'll catch them.
So you catch them, I'll eat them. Whatever island you move into, I come in there.
Yeah.
Because us Nassau people don't have the skills.
No. And like I said, it's me, you know, and mm-hmm. especially fishing. That's what I miss from Exuma. You know, you could hardly, one time ago, you could go Clifton Pier, but now it's so dangerous. Now these guys passing and they seeing you, they may come to rob you, think you have money and make you jump overboard or something like that. If you go, you have to go in a group. Mm-hmm. You can't go as individual. But years ago, you could have gone down to, you know, Clifton Pier and that's, you know, catch all your fish and everything that you wanted.
Yes,
but
sir.
Now you can't do that anymore. So, Aaron, I tell people the island is the best life to go. The air quality is different. The atmosphere, everything is different.
Let me ask you a question. Can you feel the difference in density when you're on the island? Like, I can feel the difference in the air because of the bush.
Oh, and guess what? You're going to enjoy the full moon better than in Nassau because of all the light. But, you know, there's no light. When the moon coming up over the water or setting, hey, you don't want nothing more beautiful than that.
I with you. Thank you much.
Okay, you're welcome.
So I think that caller is our first contestant for Bahamian Alone, you know, that series.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they put 10 people into the Arctic and they survive, right? And I was watching that. I was like so amazed by what these people can do from trapping, from building a shelter, from nothing. All they had was 10 things they brought with them and how they survived bitterly cold. It was amazing.
And how
they've lost that.
And yeah, how they were able to identify, to read the landscape.
I would be dead in like one day or quicker, but they survived 80 days.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But what the caller's talking about, these skills that we once had, you know, where you can get in the bush, you could probably build yourself a little something to sleep on.
A lean-to.
A lean-to.
Off the ground, so crabs come by.
Brush your teeth with the sand.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. We've lost that.
Yeah. A lot of indigenous knowledge. Mm-hmm. And indigenous in our sense, meaning that we've been here so long that we're now considered indigenous, right? And I think that for Africans throughout the Caribbean, we claim indigeneity, and as we should, because there are things that we know, you know, and we're losing.
Yeah. So that and if you go before that, imagine the Lakaians or the Arawak, the Caribs, they would have lived here.
Yeah.
In that same kind of environment with no modern facility, and we're able to survive. We're able to figure out where to get water. Coconut, you know, fish.
You know, trap. I think one of the biggest issues we're dealing with is our lack of sense of place. We don't understand where we are and how to live here. And I think over the last several decades, that are not suitable for this environment, right? I mean, people say, well, Aaron, this is a hurricane zone, so we need these concrete structures. Even with building these concrete structures, you can build them in an orientation that captures the wind and blocks the sun, reducing your electricity costs, right? Yeah. But we can build different types of homes. When I was in the rainforest in Suriname, as well as in Zambia, thatched roofs were the norm. A thatch roof is not a 30-year roof. A thatch roof is a 3 to 4 year roof that you know that you're going to replace on that third or fourth year. A thatch roof is a roof that you can afford to lose in a storm and replace relatively easily, right? And so, you know, these cultural shifts. Let me get back to this IRCA and crackdown over communications outages, the second article in today's Tribune business section. Regulators last night voiced their displeasure with inconsistent and delayed reporting of network outages by Bahamian communications providers as they move to better protect consumers from such disruption. The Utilities Regulation and Competition Authority, unveiling its proposed outage reporting and mitigation regulations for the industry, revealed it had been motivated to act by widespread and frequent customer complaints. Frequent customer complaints.
But why is it customer complaints need to force IRCA to come up with this report when the actions leading to where we are now happened, what, a decade ago? Isn't that what a regulatory body is supposed to do? Supposed to have a look at the legislation, say, oh, here's a gap. Here are our recommendations. Why do they have to do it? Because, I mean, obviously helpful that they responded to the fact that you've complained and others have complained, but that's a big question in my mind, whether they're actually doing their function, right?
Right. I'm going to quote again, cognizant of consumers in the Bahamas and globally are becoming increasingly dependent upon electronic communication services for both personal and commercial use. And accordingly, consumers expect to receive high-quality electronic communication services from licensees in the Bahamas, close quotes. I just want to stick a pin there. This is not a matter of, like, we're becoming increasingly dependent. We're not becoming increasingly dependent. We have been forced into a legal, economic, and social paradigm that requires access to communication services, right? Like, this is not something that we come together as a country and decided on. We are being forced, and I think it's important for the government to say, hey, we are being forced to move at a pace that we can't manage in terms of national infrastructural development. Right? We've got a bank archipelago, the external archipelago, right? People still have to pay bills. And how are they expected to pay bills without the electronic communication systems in place for them to be able to move their money to the bill collector? I just wanted to put those two stories on the table, because for many people, they want to move to, back to, from one to another, to a family island, but they cannot afford it because we are not correctly and accurately calculating the cost of these things.
I mean, it's an interesting point. If you want to go to the family islands and you still want to pick up your phone every 5 seconds, it's going to be a challenge, right?
Yeah.
So we've created this rod for our own back. You know, when I put my phone down for like a couple hours, I get all hell breaks loose. You didn't answer my call. You didn't answer my WhatsApp. So you have to lower your pace if you're going back.
Like in this space here, the talk show space, I'm constantly scouring any media space for information, for topics, right? For answers to questions. Like And in fact, to keep up with the pace of news in the country, I got to have my phone in my hand all the time. And so how do people who live on the family island but have to stay connected with New Providence because of their work, how are they making it? Anyway, these are all things to be considered, to be discussed. When we have the conversation again, I want to bring in an interrogation of the Ministry of Works and Family Island Affairs and how it will strategize to drive in the family islands, how to bring balance. We have equal and equitable access to state services by for people living on the family islands. Producer, is it too late to take that call? Good morning, caller. You have 30 seconds. Hi, good day.
Hi.
Sir? I guess we lost you. I'm so sorry. Caller, this is the end of the hour, Mr. Palmer. Thank you for joining us this morning and sharing your family island experience with us. A great insight, you know, in development in one of the faster-paced islands in terms of development. We could do a spotlight on Eleuthera every week because it then becomes a model, right, for other family islands and for Nassau people. Right? It can be for our Nassau communities, it could even be, and New Providence communities, it can be a model. And the last thing I want to say is, hey, thank you, Pumpkin Eater, for throwing that idea out there that the government needs to explore MOUs with the Turks and the Dominican Republic in terms of access to medical services, particularly emergency. Thank you guys for joining me today on The Clock with Mark Palmer. We're at the end of the show. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is coming up next. Again, I have to put it to you. If the good Lord never went on holiday, then tell me why does the Bahamas have U.S. preclearance? The new version of that song, the latest version to hit the radio. You guys have a great day.